so excited for what God's doing today. And is everybody excited? It's Labor Day weekend. Is everybody all excited? All right. Well, let me go ahead and start us. This is in Matthew 11, verse 28. It says, "Come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Let me repeat that. "Come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Today, we get to celebrate this weekend being Labor Day weekend, that we get to take time off after all the hard labor we do, right? But the amazing thing that Jesus says here is, "Come, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." We are going to enter into that time of rest with God here today. Will you bow your heads with me and let's pray? Father, we just thank you, God, that we can come to you with our burdens, with our heavy labor, with everything that's tried to hold us down. And God, we just pray now that we give it to you. And Holy Spirit, we just pray that you give us that rest here today. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. All right. You know, the thing when I was reading this verse, the thing that really stood out to me was when it said, "All of you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." The thing that stood out so much to me about this, "I will give you rest," is for me, for a long time, I was going, we don't got time to rest when we're on a project, right? When something's going on in our life, you don't get to just go and take a day off. You don't get to go and take a break. There's work to be done. So if there's work to be done, don't stop in the middle of the mission. You need to get the job done. And there's been so many times in my life where what I've had to do is take that time and go, I need to get this one project done, or this other project done, or this other project done, and I don't take that time to rest. And the thing is, when I first started as a youth pastor, I had this mentality that there were so many things I had to get done, so many projects I had to get accomplished, that I would never take a day off. I would go from working a 9-to-5 job and going full-time the rest of the day into youth ministry. I was in charge of both our youth, our drama team, our media team, and all my other responsibilities at church, to where I got to the point where I was working 24/7, it felt like. And when I had taken over from the previous youth pastor, they were always getting projects done, and I had this mentality that I needed to go further than what they did. That they were always seeming to get one project after another done, to where they seemed to do the impossible. So I thought, if I'm the new youth pastor, I got to meet that expectation and take it further, right? The problem was, the only way I could go further than what they did is I felt like I couldn't take a day off. I had to work twice as hard. I had to put in twice the amount of time. I needed to pray twice as hard than what I felt like they did. I was constantly in competition with the previous youth pastor. But here's the thing. I never once rested. And over time, that rest, that lack of it, started to catch up to me. See, I started to look up on what overworking does to our bodies. And if you've ever looked up what overworking does, in other words, you go all the time of never resting. You never take a day off. You run until the fuel is completely out. And I'm sure some of you have just gone and gone and gone, and all of a sudden you just knock out on the spot, right? You go home and collapse on your bed. There was a time I remember I was so exhausted. I remember leaving a building, and I looked outside, and I saw the concrete, and I had this thought, and don't judge me, okay? I remember looking at the concrete, and I go, I could fall asleep right here. That looks so comfortable. That concrete has got to be cold. I could pass out right here. And all of a sudden, this spark came alive in my brain, and it was going, Tate, you idiot. The grass is so much softer. I was ready to go pass out right there in the grass. I was burning the candle at both ends. In fact, have y'all ever heard that phrase, I'll rest when I'm dead? I was living that. The thing was, is I was living it so much, I didn't realize how much it was consuming my life. See, I was on this mission mode of, I need to get so many youth saved. I need to get all these projects done. We got this one drama we got to get done by the end of the month. We got to get the weekly media videos out every single week. I go into like 3 a.m. editing videos. And if anybody's ever edited a video, you lose your mind at 3 a.m., I promise you. After a while, you go, I don't care how that video is, just put it out there, okay? But the thing is, I was going all the time, but I would never stop to rest. And the thing was, is I didn't realize I was living that very phrase, I'll rest when I'm dead. See, here's the thing. We are made in the very image of God. And the thing that you have to understand about being made in God's image is that God created the entire world, every single thing that we see in this world, and it took him 6 days to create everything. But it says on the seventh day, he rested. Did you catch that? God, the infinite being, the creator of everything, rested on the seventh day. But for some reason, I thought I could go 7 days a week, 24/7, and never stop to rest because I'll rest when I'm dead. There's too much to get done. I don't have the time to stop and rest. The thing is I was living out half of this scripture. There were so many times that I would come to God and go, God, I'm so wore out. I've got all these heavy burdens on me. I've got all these heavy ladens here. God, it says that I can come and lay it at your feet. God, take this problem. Take this problem. God, I'm so beat up. I'm so exhausted. But I would completely ignore the rest of that scripture. I wouldn't take that time off and rest. See, if we're made in God's image and God designs us to take a day off and rest, why is it I was going 7 days a week thinking I was invincible? Because see, I was living off of accomplishment after accomplishment after accomplishment. I wanted to see so many people come to know Jesus. But I wouldn't take the time to rest with God. Eventually, after 6 months of me doing this, my body started to give out. And if any of you have ever driven a car and never given it a tune-up, how many of you have ever seen that check engine light come on the car and you just keep driving? Okay, I feel that judgment on y'all. Okay, look. I've seen that light come on, and I go, we're fine. We're in Big Spring. Keep driving. We'll be all right. We can make it to Arby's. It'll be okay. But the thing is, that light starts blinking because there's a problem, right? It's telling you there's a warning sign going off, and if you keep ignoring it, eventually something might give out. Or if you don't ever change the oil on a car, eventually that engine's going to blow up on you. But see, for some reason, in my mind, I thought, well, my body's not a car. It don't need a tune-up. It don't need oil. It doesn't need rest. What it needs is another project. Come and lay my burdens at his feet, but God, don't make me stop. And eventually, after 6 months of going nonstop, my body finally started to give out. And what happened was, is all of a sudden, I felt just this utter exhaustion come over me. I was so beat up all the time. And my solution was energy drinks. How many of y'all just love energy drinks? Okay, I can feel that judgment over here, all right? I was drinking Red Bulls all the time. I was constantly trying to recaffeinate, keep that energy up, because now that my body was exhausted, it was just keep fueling it with artificial fuel, right? It's like, just keep pumping it. Keep getting the energy I need. Next thing I know, my energy just kept plummeting and plummeting. Next thing I know, I was fighting off cold after cold. Next thing I know, it was like, man, how is it I keep catching the flu? What is going on with my body? Why is it I keep seeming to be sick? Next thing I know, it was like I was sick 24/7. I had one of my family members make fun of me because I called them up one day and they go, you're always coughing on the phone. What is wrong with you? And I'm over there in my head going, don't judge me. It's like, I'll cough on you the next time I see you. But the thing was, is I was just sick all the time. Next thing I know is my body, finally, the engine light stayed permanently on. And all of a sudden, my lungs gave out on me. See, I've never had asthma growing up my entire life. But in this moment, my lungs absolutely said, we're done. Whatever you've been doing, we are giving up the ghost here. And all of a sudden, I remember waking up and I couldn't go 5 feet without hitting the ground gasping for air. And it got dark like that. I remember in that moment, all of a sudden walking 5 feet, and all of a sudden I hit the ground, and I joke you not, I'm over there looking at the ground just going, and I'm like, what is this weird feeling? Why have my lungs stopped breathing? And all of a sudden I go, I'm going to die. And if you've ever had like an asthma attack or anything close to that, it is the scariest feeling on the planet to feel like you can't breathe. And all in your head, you're going, I'm literally looking at the ground going, breathe. Do something. Air, come in. Like you're just having these mental battles and going, just get in there somehow, right? And all I'm hearing is this little, like, weird little coming out of me. Next thing I know, I got air again. I'm like, okay, cool. All right, we're good. Let's go to work. I walk another 5 feet, back on the ground going, what is going on? I can't breathe. And I called up work and I go, I don't know what's going on. I can't breathe. I need to go to the doctor. Now, for me, I don't go to the doctor unless I'm like at death's door, okay? I try to avoid doctors all the time. I don't want to go to y'all because all it is just a scary experience for me, okay? I don't want to go there unless I have to. But the thing was, is I couldn't breathe. How do you go in there to a doctor and say, I can't breathe? Well, you seem to be doing it right now. I know, but you weren't there 5 minutes ago. I was on the ground, spitting, just trying to get air into my lungs. Something's not right. They go in there, they start doing all these tests on me. They do a breathing test on me. And I'm having to blow into this weird little machine, and this ball would float up in the air. And they're like, well, your lungs seem to be fine. I'm going, I wasn't 30 minutes ago. They go, well, we can take you in and go get tests. We go and get tests, x-rays come back, I'm clean. My lungs look great. Okay, I'm not really having any episodes. Another month goes by, bam, same thing happens again. This time it's even worse. I go into the doctor again and I can barely breathe. This time they can hear it. And they go, ooh, we think you might have pneumonia. Okay, now for me, I hear pneumonia and I'm going, I don't want to die. I don't want pneumonia. That's scary, right? They take me in for chest x-rays. And they come back and they go, well, that's weird. I'm like, what? They go, you don't have pneumonia. And there's nothing wrong with your lungs. We don't know what's wrong with you. We're going to give you a whole bunch of steroids and hope it kicks it out. I'm like, okay, cool. Will this fix me? We think so. I'm like, all right, cool. I got too much other stuff to do. Let's get this taken care of. The next day, I'm back in the doctor's office. I can't breathe even sitting there with them. And they're over here having me do this breathing machine. They hook me up to this little oxygen machine. And all of a sudden they go, Tate, your oxygen is so bad. If you drop two more points on your oxygen, we're going to have to forcefully hospitalize you. In that moment, I live in a small town. And all that went through my head is if I go to that hospital, I'm in debt the rest of my life. I'm going, we're avoiding that hospital at all costs. At that point, I start praying hard over my body. I'm like, my lungs are going to work right. They're going to function. Everything's good. And they go, Tate, you don't get it. If your oxygen drops two more points, we will hospitalize you, whether you like it or not. I come in the next week, same story, and I keep getting worse. They go, Tate, again, two more points, we're throwing you in the hospital. I remember the next day I get out of the shower and that cold air hits me and I collapsed there on the floor. I couldn't breathe. I literally could not breathe, and I felt like in that moment I was going to die. It was the scariest thing I've ever experienced in my life, because when your lungs will not physically move, they won't bring in air. All I could think of in this moment is, I'm about to go see Jesus. It's over. There's nothing I can do. And all in my head, I can't even speak because I can't get the air in to even speak. And all I'm thinking in my head is, Jesus, help me. And finally, my lungs begin to move again, and air comes rushing in. I promise you, in that moment, I was ready to just bawl, cry, because I thought, I almost died. Right here on my bathroom floor, and nobody would have known. I go to the doctor, and they go, Tate, we don't know what's wrong with you. Every test we've done shows your lungs are great. Everything we're checking says you're good. Everything we have that we know to test you on says you are healthy. We don't know why your lungs aren't working, but we'll keep pumping you full of steroids. But again, if your oxygen drops anymore, we're going to have to throw you in the hospital. At that point, they were telling me I had to stay home and get bed rest. And I remember calling my pastor at the time going, you're going to have to get help to cover me because I can't come there and preach. I remember trying to make that phone call, and it is the like worst phone call in my life, because every other word, it's like, can you help? It's like that wheeze of somebody having an asthma attack just trying to talk. How can I preach like that, right? Can you imagine me over there, just over there, Jesus loves you? Nobody's going to hear me. They're going to focus on why my lungs are dying on me. Two months go by of me trying to recover from this. And I'm going, God, why can I not breathe? Every doctor is saying there's nothing wrong with me. Why can't I breathe? And God told me something that I've never forgot. He goes, Tate, you were trying to be like the previous youth pastor. They were going 24/7 nonstop, and you were trying to be just like them. I didn't call you to be them. I called you to be you. And you have got to stop and rest. And the thing was, I could have handled it the right way, but I was in project mode. I was going 24/7. I was bringing all my burdens to God, but I wouldn't take that next step that Jesus said and take the rest. Take the day off. I was constantly in this mode of go, go, go. And all of a sudden, I start looking into this with the Bible. And here's the thing. We've all heard the Ten Commandments growing up. We've heard, you know, honor thy mother and thy father. Don't commit adultery. Don't commit murder. We listen to all of the other 9 commandments, but there's a 10th commandment in there that says to honor the Sabbath. Well, if you don't know what the Sabbath is, that was the day to rest. See, we, in my mind in that moment, I completely ignored that commandment. See, that commandment was so important to God that the punishment for you not obeying that commandment was death. The first time somebody disobeyed the Sabbath, they brought the man that was going to collect firewood on the Sabbath, and they come to Moses and say, he's breaking the Sabbath. What should we do with him? They took him out and stoned him to death. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, that's not the Christian thing to do. Don't do that, okay? That was messed up. But the punishment for breaking the Sabbath was death. God had told them, you break the Sabbath, you're to be stoned to death. It was serious. Because here's the thing, we need rest. But we're human. We're stubborn. If any of you have ever messed with sheep or animals, you all know sheep can be nice, but they can be some of the most stubborn creatures on the planet. They will bump you. They will try to go their own way. And the thing is, that's how we are as humans, right? That's how I was. I was going, I'm going to go nonstop until I finally hit the ground and I couldn't breathe. And God's telling me, you need to rest. But I wouldn't listen to him. And I finally, there in my bedroom, had to start listening to God. See, I was overworking myself, and by medical science, they've done so many studies on this, on what happens to your body when you overwork it. It says that your cortisol levels skyrocket. Those are the hormones that your body releases for stress. If you don't get enough rest, your stress levels are skyrocketing. It says that it leads to brain fog, high blood pressure, and other health problems. And get this, you become more susceptible to being sick and your immune system starts to shut down. Everything starts making sense to me because I wouldn't rest. So I remember in my room having to make a decision. If I want my lungs to work again, if I want to keep doing what God's telling me to do, I have to make a change. I have to learn how to rest. I had to learn how to shut everything off. Now, for some of you, you probably have a smartphone at home. Did you know there's a feature on every Android and Apple phone on here? Did you know if you pull down on your settings or go to your settings, there's this wonderful button on here called Do Not Disturb. Have any of y'all seen this? Apparently, you click it and it won't bother you for whatever time you set it for, right? So if somebody's trying to call you at 3 a.m., they're not getting through. It won't disturb you. Well, the thing is you got to get to that place in your walk with God that you need to get to a place of a do not disturb lifestyle. And that's the title of my message. Do not disturb. You have got to start living a do not disturb lifestyle. If we're willing to listen to all the other 10 commandments, I'm sorry, the other 9 commandments, but we ignore the one that says rest, what are we doing? We got to get to this place of living a do not disturb life. And guess what? That means it's okay to take a nap. I heard every parent silently say amen, okay? We all need to learn how to rest. And here's the thing, when you get to the place of a do not disturb lifestyle, clicking on the button and saying, I need this time to sleep, I need this time to rest, God will start doing something amazing in your life. For me, I had to shut down things that I wouldn't let go of. And God started to transform my life, start to heal my lungs, start getting my health back, because he was forcing me to rest. It says in Psalms 23, David is talking about this, about God. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." I want you to catch this. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd," aka he's my boss, he's my leader, he's my God. And I don't have to worry about anything because he's my God. But the next line he says is, "He makes me." Did you hear that? Not David chooses to. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He makes me, he leads me beside the still waters. In other words, when he's saying, "I'm not going to worry about the things in my life because he is my God," as a result, he will make me lie down. He will make me rest. He will make me lay down, not on concrete, on green pastures. He will lead me by still waters, and as a result, he will restore my soul. Are you catching this? When you start to live a do not disturb lifestyle, he will make you lie down. He will make you rest. He will lead you to still waters. In other words, he's going to make you rest, and he's going to bring you the life, living water that you need to restore your soul. And out of that, he leads me into the paths of righteousness. My first point is, he restores. When you live a do not disturb lifestyle, he restores. What does he restore? He will restore your health. He will restore your spiritual strength. He will restore your emotions. He will restore whatever you need. In that case, I needed a spiritual, I needed an emotional, I needed my lungs, a physical healing. He restored that the moment I finally gave up and let him let me rest. I stopped worrying about what I needed, and I let him let me rest and start giving me those living waters. Guess what happens when I was resting? I started to read my Bible again. I started to pray again with God. I started to have a relationship with him. And out of that, I had living water start coming back into my life. And he started to lead me in the paths of righteousness. But it required me to stop, put a boundary up, turn on my do not disturb, and rest on him. Now, I don't know about the rest of you. How many of you are in here that you love going and getting a nap anytime you want? You take it the moment you get it, right? I was the type growing up, my mom and dad forced me to go take a nap, okay? If you can't tell, I've got energy to spare, okay? My parents would literally come in the room and say, "Tate, you need to go take a nap." And I fought them like crazy. I was going, "I don't want to take a nap. I'm wide awake." I remember my mom said something to me, and that was one of those mom moments that you don't argue with her. Okay? This was this moment. "I don't want to take a nap." "I don't care." "You go in that room, you lay down in that bed, and you don't come out of there until I tell you to come out." And I remember that was one of those, don't argue with her. You're not going to win this. I went in there, and guess what? She was being just like God. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. See, my mom knew what I actually needed. Even though I was running on high fumes, I needed that nap. She needed that nap. But the thing was, is my mom knew what was best for me, even though I didn't know it. See, God is all about that in our lives. Sometimes we need that nap. Sometimes we need that time with God. Sometimes we need to turn on the do not disturb. Maybe you just need to turn the phone off altogether and say, "God, it's just me and you. And here's the thing. Sometimes when you start burning that candle at both ends, it's not just a spiritual rest you need. Maybe it's a family restoration that you need as well. Maybe it's an emotional restoration. Because here's the thing, you've been so consumed by the projects that are in your life that your family has now become the sacrifice for what you're trying to accomplish. For me, I was sacrificing my family, my emotions, my mental health, and my family. Because I thought I was doing God's work. I wouldn't take the time to rest. I'd bring Him my burdens, but I wouldn't rest and let God start to restore my soul. But the moment you start to let Him restore your soul and be just like how David is, it takes effort. Out of Hebrews 4, we start to see what it actually looks like to live this do not disturb life. In Hebrews 4, it talked about how in the Old Testament, the Israelites were disobeying God because they wouldn't honor the Sabbath. God even made the Sabbath to where they were to rest, and He even gave them laws saying, on the seventh year, you stop farming on that land and you give the land a break. But because they wouldn't listen to what God had told them to do, they were entered into slavery because they kept disobeying God. Here's the thing. The moment you start to live this life of do not disturb, and just like how David said, I shall not want, what that means is I'm going to trust God with my needs. It requires faith to trust God. See, here's the thing. When we give into God's kingdom with our tithes and offering, that requires faith because here's the thing. That money could go pay other bills. That money could go and pay for the meal right after church. But because I trust God, because He's the one that gave me the money that I have right now, I'm going to trust Him to give into His kingdom and that He will be my provider. But why is it we are so afraid to give God our time? Why was I so terrified that if I didn't stop, if I stopped, I would never get anything done? Why couldn't I trust God with my time? If He's really my great provider, why was I so terrified that if I stopped for one day, nothing would get accomplished? See, I was disobeying His commandment just like the Israelites. And it says in verse 1, therefore, since the promise of entering His rest still stands, I want you to catch this, His rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Now, we who have believed entered that rest. Did you catch that? Now, we who believe enter that rest just as God has said. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. They didn't obey, so they don't enter into the rest. They didn't have faith to trust God that He would provide for them, so they entered into slavery. So we don't need to be them. They didn't value God's word. They didn't value His promises. So because of that, they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. We have to obey God. Trust Him. And out of that, our faith will lead us into that rest. But the moment you start to live that faith-filled rest, what will happen is a transformation. David didn't worry about anything because God was providing it. He made him to lay down in green pastures, and He brought him by still waters to feed him. And out of that, He led him into righteousness. So what happens when you live by faith and I obey God and His commandments? He replaces your burdens. In Matthew 11, verse 28, we just read this at the beginning. Come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In other words, whatever problem you got, bring it to me, and I will give you rest. But it doesn't end there. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The moment you stop worrying about what you got to do, the moment you start living a do not disturb life, not only will he restore your soul, but he will transform you, because he will take the things that have been binding you, that have been holding you down, and he will transform you and replace your burdens with what burdens him. It will replace, I got to get this project done. I got to get this thing done. I got to get this thing done. And now what happens is he will replace it with, who doesn't know Jesus? How is your mental health? How's your family? Are you resting on my strength, or are you taking care of it on your own? What are you doing with the time that I've given you? If you give me your burdens, I will give you my yoke, which is light and easy. Will you trust him with your time? Which leads to my last point. The Sabbath is reserved for you. See, the thing is, a lot of people got legalistic with the Sabbath, to where just like that man that went to collect firewood and they brought him before Moses and they stoned him to death, the Sabbath was never meant for man to serve the Sabbath. But Jesus said in Mark 2, verse 27, he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. We have got to rest in God. We have got to trust him. We need to let him take care of us, because the moment we stop worrying about, well, this is that one day off and I'm going to make it a tradition. No, we need to have a relationship with God and let him start to transform us. Don't let the Sabbath control you. You run to God and let him give you the rest that you need, and he will lead you to rest. He will restore your soul. He will begin to transform your life, and he will lead you into righteousness. But the way we do that sometimes means we have got to turn the phones off. Sometimes that means we got to go into do not disturb. Sometimes that means we got to set time aside for our family. Maybe sometimes that means we need to set time aside for our mental health. Whatever that need is, I shall not want, because he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. But can I tell you something? Even Jesus had to leave the crowds. Sometimes what you need to do is change the environment. Turn on the do not disturb and get closer to God. It says in the word that he would leave the crowds and go and pray in the wilderness. If you will run after God, you will find him. The moment you live a do not disturb life, not only will you be able to lay your burdens down, not only will he take all those heaviness, all the things that have tried to steal, kill, and destroy your life, but now he will transform you into that abundant life that Jesus has promised you. Seek him, and you will find him. Will you close your eyes with me for a moment? I want to invite you right now, if that's you, that it's time that you get into this do not disturb lifestyle. Maybe you've been bound in chains. Maybe you've been like me, where you were running from project to project. Maybe you're afraid to give up your time because you go, God, I don't have enough time in the day to get everything accomplished. Well, I'm here to tell you, the Lord is your shepherd. You shall not want. He will lead you to green pastures. He will lead you beside still waters, and He will lead you into His righteousness. If you will have faith and obey, I promise you, He will provide. If you will trust Him with a little of your time, how much more will God do in your life if you will just have a little bit of faith that He knows what's good for you? David lived this life. I shall not want. He will lead me by green pastures. He will make me lie down in green pastures, and He will lead me by still waters. Maybe it's time you put on do not disturb. Maybe it's time you turn off the cell phone. Maybe you can learn from me and don't wait till you're on the ground gasping for air thinking you're going to die. Run to God. Lay your burdens at His feet. Come with your heavy laden to Him. And I promise you, He will give you the rest you need. If God, the creator of the universe, needed to rest on the seventh day, how much more do you need to rest? So I want to invite you right now, if that's you, and you need His rest, you feel like you've been like how I was, I'll rest when I die. That's not what God has for you here today. Satan, the thief, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to steal your time. He wants to kill you. He wants to destroy your life. But Jesus came to give you life, and life more abundantly. If that's you, I want to lead you into a prayer of salvation, and then I want to pray a blessing over us. So if you need Jesus to be your Lord and give you that life that you need to transform your life and restore your soul, then I want you to just say this with me. Jesus, be my Lord and be my Savior. And God, I pray right now for everyone here, whether you're on ground or online, God, for the ones that feel like they have been dying for years, they have been battling after battle after battle, they have fought burden after burden, and they have never rested. God, I pray that you begin to break those chains off of them now. God, that you begin to stir up those living waters, that you let them lie down in green pastures and let them rest in your goodness, in your love. God, that we want to run to you and our obedience to your word, and let us rest on you, Jesus. God, you are our shepherd, and we shall not want. God, let us rest in those green pastures with you. Give us that living water, and God, lead us into your righteousness. Restore our soul. Take our burdens. God, let us run in your peace here today. God, I pray for everyone online or here in person. Transform their life and let them gain that rest that they so need here today. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. With that, we love you guys. Y'all have an amazing rest of y'all's Labor Day. And also, y'all go enjoy a good nap, okay? All right? Y'all have an amazing Labor Day weekend, and we'll see y'all Wednesday.